This week on the eBay for Business podcast.
One of the tips we say is make sure your font is legible on mobile. It's actually also what is the color of your font? You probably shouldn't ever use red font anymore, because if anyone's in dark mode, you're looking at red on black or red on blue. It's so hard on your eyes and you can't read it.
I'm Brian.
I'm Griff. And this is episode 135 of the eBay for Business podcast, your weekly source for the information and inspiration to start, run, and grow a business on the world's most powerful marketplace. Welcome back, Brian.
It's great to be here, Griff.
It's always good to have you. I love having Rebecca, but it's fun to trade off back and forth.
A little bit of variety.
Yes.
Well, I enjoy coming on every other week. It's enjoyable. It's fun. Breaks up the week a little bit, and I learn something every single time I'm on this show.
I hope your regular job isn't that boring.
It is definitely not boring.
Okay, good.
So who's on this week?
Well, Brian, this week we'll talk with Jen Deal about the updated seller seasonal playbook, and we'll talk about 8 steps that sellers can take to help increase sales. But before we go there, I want to know, what's in the news this week, Brian?
This week, we have 2 bits of news to report. First, eBay announced last week the introduction of videos to listing descriptions and storefronts. Over the next few months, you'll start seeing videos on select view item pages and storefront. We'll continue to expand these new video capabilities to more sellers throughout 2021. Videos will initially be visible to buyers on the eBay app and will eventually expand to desktop and mobile web.
Wow, that's great news. Sellers have been asking for this for years.
They have, and some sellers have, worked around and figured out how to do it on their own, but this is going to be a nice, easy solution for sellers.
All right, well, that's a bit of great news. I can't wait to see those. What else is up?
So the second bit of news this week, last week also saw the announcement of a change to feedback. Previously, sellers and buyers could only leave feedback of up to 80 characters. Starting this week, that limit will increase to allow a maximum of 500 characters. This will apply when you leave feedback for buyers, receive feedback from buyers, and reply to buyer feedback. You'll see this increased limit whether you leave feedback on desktop, mobile web, or the eBay app. Make sure you have the most recent version of the app to see the increased character limits.
Yeah, and in fact, we have a question about this recent change to feedback at the end of this episode, and we'll address that question and an answer when we talk more about it then.
Anytime eBay touches feedback, it's bound to have raised some concerns among our sellers.
Yes, indeed. That's how the history of feedback has always worked. Thanks again, Brian. We'll see you in a few to help with that question, as well as, believe it or not, 4 other seller questions. We have 5 questions this week.
That's great news.
But first, let's talk about 8 action items any seller can take to help increase sales. Time to check in with our good friend Jen Deal, customer marketing strategist for eBay and keeper of the seller seasonal playbook. Welcome back, Jen Deal.
Thanks, Griff. Great to be back.
Now, before we jump into the 8 best practices, tell us a little bit about what's new in the playbook for spring 2021.
We did a wonderful refresh in the playbook this year, so I hope our sellers are as excited about it as I am. We have now retail trends that we're posting. We're actually also letting you know what's coming up for sellers on eBay. So sometimes we like to give you reminders about what we might have talked about in a seller update, for example. And then there's an entire section here about how you can win the season with social channels. And these are your social channels. So we actually give you tips and a how-to on what you can do to help grow your business.
Is there anything else in the seasonal playbook that's updated that you want to cover before we jump into 8 best practices?
So there's one more thing. We always have had a section about how to create the perfect listing, but among the examples of perfect listing titles, examples have been updated. We also now have an actual breakdown. It's a little bit of like sentence diagramming. We did a little bit of title diagramming, and we show you an example of how to break down the perfect listing, and you can use that formula for all of your other listings to make sure they're in shape.
One of the things I really enjoyed reading in the seasonal playbook were the 8 best practices tips. Can we go through those?
Yeah, absolutely.
What's our first best practice?
So the first best practice is really to do your research on products and pricing. And we have a tool that I'm sure many of you are familiar with called Terapeak. And seasonality is fairly normal for the typical seasonal holidays, but there's a breadth of things selling now across the board. Terapeak is a great tool to dig in and actually figure out, like in a smaller period of time, how things are selling, the price points, what's new versus used or pre-owned, what's being offered mostly with free shipping or what's not. this is great information because it's actually based on historical sales data.
Right. You can get an idea of what people are looking for, and then that may lead you to the products that you should be looking for, even if it's within the same category of what you're already offering, but it may be a different subcategory. What's number two?
Number two is determining what to sell. You probably have a core set of products that you're selling, but you might want to plan other products for different seasons, or you want to expand on those products. For example, I sell craft items, and you know, there's general tools and products that I can sell year-round. Happy birthday is a general one. Thank you is a general one. But around Easter time, I might focus in on products that are related to spring, to Easter, and that is different, and that's a very seasonal item. And so that's what I mean by determine what you're going to sell for that particular season.
And then number three, I know this one pretty well.
This should just be like the always on. It is to optimize your listings. But from pictures to pricing, it's really just making sure you're putting the best listing forward. Some of these other tips will actually help you focus in on exactly what those best practices are. Doing things like making sure you have the perfect listing set up. The titles are accurate and helpful. Your photos are phenomenal. Your pricing is right. Just make sure you're optimizing and just reviewing them. You don't necessarily want to have a listing that's been sitting there for a while, continue to sit there as the same way. Take a look at it real quickly. And is it really going to shine when it's supposed to?
I'm watching something on eBay right now that's fascinating in fragrance, which is a big category of interest to me. I'm watching these sellers kind of battling around the price of a particular fragrance. And it goes anywhere from like $180 to $300 a bottle. And they're changing their prices, trying to keep competitive with each other. But what they don't realize is that same exact fragrance that they're offering can be purchased on a major retail site for $130. When it comes to optimizing your listings, a lot of time you have to move just beyond eBay itself and know, well, what's going on when it comes to pricing for this item outside of eBay? So optimizing your listings is not an insulated eBay experience. You want to make sure that you're showing up in Google Shopping with your listing in a way that's going to grab people, as opposed to going to this website where they can buy, for example, this fragrance for half price, what you're offering it.
That's right. That's incredible. That's an incredible example of how pricing changes frequently on certain items. I also just wanted to remind sellers, we have an image background cleanup available within the app. I've had a lot of sellers say, well, how do I get that on my existing listing? Can I use my computer to do that? Unfortunately, you can't. But if you want to go to that listing and add a photo, you can take a new picture of the item from your phone, clean up that background, and then you can move it to that first position.
Yeah, and that's an important step. The fourth tip, which is a sometimes controversial topic with sellers, is
item specific.
Yes.
Yeah, the tip itself actually says help buyers find the items. And that's exactly what we're trying to do with item specifics. The item specifics not only help identify for the buyer the items they're searching for within the search page, but also in the left-hand navigation. So if you're not putting item specifics in, you're not necessarily in the left-hand navigation if they are searching for that item with filters. We want to give you all the best possible ways to get to the right buyer as they're searching. So using those item specifics is really important. Plus, it saves you words and space on that title. So if you were that person that was putting like every description possible in the title, you don't have to do that anymore. And you can actually have a normal reading title that makes sense to the buyer, but still have all of those keywords, if you will, pick up on the item specific side.
Sellers are still inured from years of and habit of doing this, of actually trying to get as much of the product information in the title, like things like manufacturer part number and even color and size. And those things are helpful if you have the room, but if it's a question of trying to fit it into those limited character spaces, as long as that's also indicated in the item specific, it will show up in a search. Another really important thing, because this is something that comes up in our discussion forums all the time, is there's too many recommended item specifics and I'm trying to fill them all in so I can make the little circle complete. And I wonder if we should have reconsidered that circle, because it's not a contest. It's not a matter of getting the circle complete and then suddenly everyone will find your item. There are, in some categories, lots of item specifics that may not relate to your item. Your item may not have a theme, but for that category, we've included it as a potential recommended item specific. Don't fret it. Don't put in not applicable. Don't put in NA. Just leave it blank. Trying to fill in item specifics just so that you get that circle closed is not helping your item. Only choose the item specifics that you know relate directly to your item.
Yeah.
Now let's move on to number five.
Number five, this tip is optimize for mobile. This is probably an area that we're going to continue to focus and expand on because there's so many new features on a phone that actually affects the experience of how you shop. There's a thing called dark mode, for example. Actually, I love dark mode because it's better for my eyes when I have to look at a screen all day.
Yeah, I like dark mode because it suits my personality. But
that is also a good reason for that. But here's an example of, you know, if you click through on this link to read more about how you can optimize for mobile, one of the tips we say is make sure your font is legible on mobile. It's actually also, what is the color of your font? You probably shouldn't ever use red font anymore, because if anyone's in dark mode, you're looking at red on black or red on blue.
That's so hard to read.
It's so hard on your eyes and you can't read it. I think that we're going to be talking about optimizing for mobile more and more, because we're thinking about those experiences.
Lucky for sellers, though, we do a lot of the optimization on our own end when it comes to the width of the description and how pictures display. That's become more and more standardized as the years have gone by. So it's not as bad as it was even just 5 years ago, where sellers had to keep a lot of things in mind about picture size and placement. And now we're handling all that, so it's a lot easier.
And the more we improve listing flow and simplify features there, the more that it will be easier for sellers to optimize mobile. It's probably less that you don't have to do anything, but more that you should just be aware of what's happening.
Now, number six is another one near and dear to my heart, because I like free stuff, especially if it's got eBay on it.
Ship with eBay supplies. Yesterday was the first of the new quarter. And so if you have your store coupon, it's probably something you should be using. The store is well stocked, with the exception of our standard envelope mailers. Our mailers are not required to use the standard envelope service, but we do have some that, if you're really wondering what's the right kind of material that fits the spec, we will have those back in stock at the end of the month. They're very, very popular.
They sold out, huh?
They sold out again. But, you know, branded supplies are just one of those things that we offer really as a service to you to help brand your business.
If you have a store.
If you have a store. Actually, Griff, that's only if you have the coupon available to you if you have a store. But anybody can buy the supplies.
Right. They're for sale. The coupon just gives you that discount that you get as part of your store subscription.
That's right. And, you know, you don't have to go overboard, really. If you're establishing your eBay business and you just want a little bit of touch of professionalism, you can even just buy the stickers and put them on the envelopes that you use all the time, or any packaging that you might be repurposing. Put a sticker on it so their buyer knows that this is their eBay package coming to them. We even also have stickers that say, this package has been repurposed. You know, if you're trying to save the planet one box at a time, we have those as well, so that it doesn't look like you just decided to go into a dumpster and get your packaging that you actually were thoughtful
Wait a
about
minute. We don't want to say that we're recommending you do.
No, we're not recommending that. No. But if you are doing that, you can use a sticker to elevate that you're saving the world.
If you want to find your shipping discount and you have a store and you've never really done this, just go to Manage My Store on the overview page of Seller Hub. And you'll see on the left-hand side under store design, there's something called subscriber discounts. And if you click on that, it'll show you eBay shipping supplies, and click details, and then you'll see your coupon for this quarter. And you copy and paste that into when you go to the shipping supply store and you purchased a bunch of, puts a bunch of stuff in the shopping cart, and then pay only the seller, you can use that coupon code to pay for all or most of it, or if not all of it, for the shipping supply. So it's a really good deal for those sellers who sell a lot and you want to get free boxes and envelopes and stickers and other stuff. So that's a great way to do that. Number seven. Now, this is the one you would think I would know about this. I had no idea we had number seven. Can you tell us about it?
Yes, I'm glad you're excited about this. We have had this for a while. Number seven is to calculate your return cost. This is a tool that we had launched when we went to retail standards of offering 30 and 60 day returns, both free and paid. It's a great little calculator if you're trying to figure out if you can even offer free returns to your buyers. Oftentimes, we have sellers wondering if they can even afford to do that. there's a lot of benefits to actually offering free returns. There's technically less hassle for you to exchange a dialogue with the buyer before they can even return the item. In free returns, they can actually just print a label and ship it back to you. You get the notifications. The process is fairly seamless. You also have seller protections or additional seller protections when you're offering free returns. This little calculator does is that it allows you to look up your transactions, look up your returns. We actually need from you the total cost of your shipping, you know, in the last 90 days that you paid for returns, for items that were returned. You drop that in, and then what happens is that you can select which policy that you currently have, and it will calculate for you the amount to add to each item in your store so that you can cover, you know, in general, cover the cost of free returns.
Right. You take the cost for a period of time. And then based on past information, you spread that cost over a number of sales that you expect to make in the next period of time that's the same length. And this is what businesses do everywhere. Every retail store does this. This is how they manage those costs. And I think what's interesting is I used to tell people how to do this, but then they'd have to do all the calculations. But now we have a tool where you just enter in the figures and we give you that amount. So it's pretty easy. So I can't say this enough. You got to check out number 7. And as far as returns goes, I'll stick my 2 cents in here as I normally do. If you're in business and if you're selling on eBay with any regularity, you're part of retail. Whether you know it or not, you are. And the retail standard for online and offline as well is that when buyers buy from you, they expect the ability to return the item. There are a few exceptions, things like cosmetics. No one gets to return cosmetics once they've been used. And open food products, can't return those. But for most everything else, and that's the bulk, lion's share of the inventory it's on eBay. If you're selling it, you should be not only willing to take returns, but expect it's just what happens in business. And then you want to mitigate those costs by tracking them, using something like the returns calculator, adding that price in so that when it comes time to accept a return, you're not stumbling over, wait a minute, I don't know, is this going to be too expensive for me? I don't know if I want to do this. That's all antithetical to doing business. What you want to be able to do is say, yeah, of course, I've set it up. It's automatic. You want to return it, send it back. I've absorbed those costs. I need your business. I love your business. Return it, and I hope you'll buy from me again. So that's my 2 cents. I said it enough on the podcast. I don't want to belabor the point because it's time to move on to number 8.
Your number 8 tip is do more with an eBay store. And really, it's just kind of encouraging that if you're looking to scale your business, grow your business, present yourself in a slightly more organized way, meaning you can actually categorize and organize items within a store. And so when a buyer comes in into a listing, they have an option to look at all your listings. They're not just seeing one page of search results, which is a ton of listings, but they can actually come into your store and look at things like the women's clothing over here, the children's clothing over there, the books over there. You can set up a nice experience for them. The reason why this is tip number 8 is if we're talking about seasonality and scaling and talking about that items would grow, a store also gives you that framework to actually create that little bit of seasonality, right? You can actually have a section in the store that is for your seasonal items.
Yes, the category right now.
Yeah, and you have some other promotion functionality in the store that you don't have elsewhere at the moment. And so if you are that type of seller that generally peaks at different seasonal times, this might totally make sense for you to have just for those seasonal periods. We have your starter store that starts at $5 a month on average and gives you enough to go on. If you're selling, what is it, more than 50 items or listing more than 50 items, the store, even the starter store might make more sense.
Even just economically, you can save money.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. The store subscriptions tend to offer lower final value fee overall, depending on subscription level. And on April 1st, we have activated all of the new zero insertion fees for the store levels.
Right. And if you're selling without a store right now and you're doing a regular business, you could be spending more money on fees than you should be. So it's worth checking out. Plus, there's something, I shouldn't do this. There's great stuff coming this year with an eBay store. And you didn't hear it here. Well, yes, you did. But you didn't hear it from me. Well, yeah, you did. There's some wonderful customization coming to stores in the coming year, I'll say, probably towards the end of the year. And you want to be ready for that. So get into the store thing now. It makes a big difference.
I love that you're not quite giving a spoiler alert, but you're really teasing this out.
I think I did a good job, don't you?
You did. You did a great job. I have to say, So I attended the San Jose meetup last week. You know, I had a little bit to share about one of our shipping services, but it was really funny because the coordinator wanted me to actually present on a topic. And I was really laughing because I said, I am working on so much that I cannot yet tell you. I'm like, it's well, so like, exciting, but I can't tell you anything yet.
Just leave it to Mr. Big Mouth here. I'll tell him. And without telling him anything, I can tell you that there's really amazing enhancements when it comes to customization coming to stores. We actually talked a little about one, which is that pretty soon, this is public, you'll be able to add video to your listings and your storefront as well. But that's just one of many aspects of store improvements that you can look forward to happening within the next year.
Yes. I love that idea of adding video. I just bought a new juicer. I needed something. I didn't need my massive one anymore. I needed something a little bit more compact.
You drink a lot of juice.
What?
You drink a lot of juice.
I do. I actually, you know, it's so hard to actually get food during the daytime because we have so many meetings that juicing is my new meal.
Oh, yeah. That's not a bad idea. And plus, you were able to get into the make mention of the fact that you work very hard, even if you're doing so from home.
I do. I work very hard for all of our sellers. But anyway, long story short, the reason I love those videos is because I can watch like a 15, 30 second video to figure out what juicer I like based on watching a video.
Yeah, it's very important. If a product moves and does things, you can put a video of it, and that's better than even a photo. Jen, this has been a lot of fun. Thank you so much for stopping by. The 8 best practices. If you want to see these in detail, you can find them on the Seller Hub. If you go to Seller Hub and then look for the seasonal playbook, it's under in Seller Center, I mean, not Seller Hub. Look for the link for seasonal playbook. We'll put that direct link in the transcript for episode 135 so that you can find it. And you should make this a regular place that you stop and visit as well.
Yeah. You can also just type it into your browser. It's ebay.com/seasonal playbook.
Well, that's easy. That's so easy. Why didn't I know that? I'm always learning stuff on this podcast.
Isn't that awesome?
Thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy day and drinking juice to talk to us about the seasonal playbook.
You're welcome. It's always a pleasure.
Jen Deal is the customer marketing strategist for eBay. She's also the keeper of the seasonal playbook. She comes back usually about once a quarter to tell us what's new. And so keep an eye on that. Again, we'll put all the links in the episode transcript for 135. You got questions?
We got answers.
We got tons of answers. We got so many answers, I don't know where to put them. Our first question this week is a short and sweet call into 888-723-4630. Let's listen.
My question is, do eBay sellers have to report internet hacks on their income tax, the IRS?
And Brian, that's all she wrote or said.
Well, that was a quick question.
I guess so. She didn't even leave her name.
So what are we going to call this seller?
Well, I thought about giving her a name, and I think it's probably presumptuous of me. So we'll just call her Mrs. Caller. How's that?
Okay, Mrs. Caller. We do know the answer to this question, I hope. At least I think I know the answer.
You want to talk about it first? Go ahead.
Well, there's a couple things that she's kind of touching on. She's touching on the internet sales tax that we collect on behalf of sellers, and then what she needs to report for her income statement to the IRS.
I think you got that, yes.
She wants to make sure she definitely files her income taxes. But when she's doing that, to make sure that the internet sales tax that we've collected on her behalf, she deducts that from any income. She doesn't include that as income.
Right, especially if she's using gross amounts that are reported by PayPal and or managed payments, depending on which payment processor she was using during the year for the previous year. You want to make sure that you've determined what that is. And both of those services, managed payment and PayPal, have reports that you can download, and you can see the gross amounts of internet sales tax that were collected on your behalf. And then if you're reporting your income based on 1099 forms that were sent out by PayPal or managed payment, or if you're just using the gross sale amount in your own column that you have there, when you're reporting your taxes, if that's the case, make sure that you're deducting the total amount of sales tax that was collected on your behalf out of that gross amount, because you don't pay income tax on sales tax collected. Again, this is a little confusing, I think, maybe because we don't know exact details here, but it's really important that if you have specific questions about your tax liabilities and responsibilities, that you talk to an actual tax attorney or a CPA in your area. And this is something you should always do when it comes to taxes as a part of correctly and legally running a business.
The other thing that she can do if she's got questions about like how to get access to those reports or how other sellers are doing this and filing it, she can start there within the eBay community at community.ebay.com and go into the selling tab and ask some questions, and she can get info there. But like you said, important for her to make sure she's doing it correctly by asking an expert.
What's our next question?
Our next question is from longtime eBay sellers, Rich and Nyla Siak, who wrote, "Why are they letting buyers write a book for feedback? Now all they will be talking about is the lousy delivery service from USPS and post it on my feedback like it's our fault. Not a fan of this idea at all." Rich Siak, Appealing Signs.
Well, Rich, I just checked your feedback earlier when I was putting the show together, and you have 100% feedback. I don't see that changing just because your buyers can leave longer feedback comments.
Well, with 100% feedback, if they leave longer comments, it means more positive.
Yeah, you're going to get more praise than less. And I definitely don't think anyone's going to start holding you accountable in long feedback comments about the delivery service level from USPS. I mean, even if they do, you can always post a comment back saying, "This." I'm always making this suggestion, you know, that if you're a seller who receives input or criticism from a buyer, that the best thing you can do is to reply in a professional way, that you acknowledge the criticism or the suggestion, and that you're going to do your best to address it for future sales. Remember, buyers don't look for negative feedback just for the sake of looking for it. What they are looking for is to see how you as a seller respond to any negative or criticism you get. And if you do so in kind, like you say, "Well, you've been blocked and you don't know what you're talking about. I'm not responsible for USPS."
All that cap letters.
Yeah. It telegraphs to any future buyer that maybe I'm going to have a problem buying from this seller.
Or this is how I'm going to be treated if I have a problem.
Yeah. But if you see as a buyer, you're looking at comments left that are negative and you're looking for the seller response, and the seller does things like, "We hear you. This was a bad experience when it comes to USPS, and we're now going to start adding maybe FedEx or UPS as options so that buyers, if they don't want to use USPS, don't have to." That's the kind of response that gets you customers. And I know it's human nature. Sellers don't want anything in their feedback except positive. Yeah, that's what we would all like from life. That is the most unreasonable business expectation anyone doing business can expect. Every business gets criticism or negative feedback. It's part of doing business. But to make the assumption that just because now they can leave you 500 characters, that they're going to use this as an excuse to leave 500 negative character statements, Rich, your own feedback shows that you get nothing but positive. You're just going to get longer praise in your feedback. And in the meantime, if it does happen, it's not going to be everything. You said now all they're going to be talking about, well, no, that's not true. You know that. But you could still get a comment someday about USPS delivery service, which in your area, I know, has been problematic. This is not a bad thing. This is an opportunity for you to acknowledge it and say, "Hey, we're working on maybe providing different types of service." Maybe it's not intuitive to a lot of sellers, but this is great self-marketing. This is how you shine in front of potential customers by showing them, "Hey, I'm a real professional seller, and every seller can get criticism or negative feedback, but this is how we react to it." And a buyer is going to be more than happy to see that and then say, "I want to buy from you."
And we saw an example of that from another one of our marketplaces over in the UK this morning.
Yeah, somebody saw this feedback comment left for a UK seller that is just 500 characters of absolute praise. I'm going to actually put a screenshot of it in the transcript. I'll blur out the identifying information. We'll include it in the transcript. When I first heard about it, I thought, "Oh, great. People like when they buy from me, maybe they'll even put more stuff in there." I get about one negative or two a year, and I don't look to have them removed, and I don't pull my hair out. I think, aha, here's my opportunity to shine for potential customers by showing them what a professional, calm, reasonable seller I am. And that's how I'm going to respond to this, because I know that's excellent marketing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm not going to even attempt to add anything onto that. No, I mean, we are aligned in our philosophy on feedback, I think.
Now, our third question was sent in by eBay seller Debbie to podcast@ebay.com. And Debbie writes, "With postal rates supposedly raising by large amounts soon, is there any kind of help eBay will offer sellers? We get shipping discounts, but not enough to help with big increases. I'm concerned about this hurting my business." Signed, Debbie, and her user ID, I think her business name is Prism Road Co. Hi, Debbie. Again, thanks for that question. It's important for sellers to keep under consideration any costs of doing business that may be increasing so they can face them. Keep in mind, when it comes to carrier rate increases, those shipping costs go up every year. They've gone up every year since eBay's inception in 1995, and that's never going to end. They're always going to go up. Probably never really going to go down.
No, maybe someday, but who knows? Remember, Debbie, when shipping carriers increase their rates, those rates go up for all sellers, not just you.
Yeah, correct. There are some steps sellers might need to take, though. For example, sellers who offer free shipping may have to work the shipping rate increases into their item prices.
And sellers who don't offer free shipping and use calculated shipping will be showing the same shipping cost to any single buyer.
And of course, for some sellers who provide flat rate shipping, they may have to adjust that flat rate number according to their own economics.
So Debbie, in conclusion, of course, every seller should be on top of any service price increase like carrier rate increases. But you should not worry about shipping rate increases putting you at a competitive disadvantage, one that will negatively impact your business since all sellers will face the same increases, including your competition.
Absolutely. If you offer free shipping, adjust your prices accordingly to absorb that increase if you need to. If you use calculated shipping, do nothing. It's all built in. And if you use flat rate shipping, determine if your flat rate amounts need to increase in order for you to stay profitable. Okay. Now, Brian, our fourth question. Our next caller phoned in a two-parter to 888-723-4630.
My name is Kevin. Basically, what I want to do is figure out some demographics of people that search or people that come through my store. I can actually pay for targeted social media ads based on demographics given. If you guys can supply that kind of thing. And I was wondering when we could get more data or metrics. We obviously have impressions. We have click-through. We have sales conversion. What I wanted to see is if we could have that by category. Let me know. Appreciate it. Bye.
Well, Kevin, I think we can answer both those questions. We don't provide demographic information about buyers. So that request, I'm sorry to say, we no can do.
We also don't currently provide seller metrics by category, but Harry and the product team have been on the podcast and have teased that they are working on this feature, that it's something that's planned for the near-term future enhancement to Seller Hub's traffic reports.
And Harry's also hinted that one of the planned enhancements to the traffic metrics in Seller Hub will be from where buyers click into your listing. This is an off-requested item.
Yeah.
But there's no official announcement on that yet.
Now that I'm thinking of it, Kevin, if you aren't using it now, you should definitely become part of the eBay Partner Network. This is eBay's affiliate program. And one of the features of the eBay Partner Network will provide the data showing where your buyers come from. That is, which websites or social media sites they're on when they make the journey, make the clicks into your item and purchase something. This is all part of something called the EPN Performance by Campaign Report. Now, I'm going to put a link to that report page in the transcript for episode 135.
And EPN is our acronym for eBay Partner Network.
Absolutely, yes.
So, Kevin, kind of to answer your question, no to the demographic question, and eventually to the metrics by category question. And you really should check out the eBay Partner Network. And then there's just one other thing. Within eBay Community, so community.ebay.com, if you go up to groups and then go into special interest groups, there's an eBay Partner Network group for eBay sellers who are part of the Partner Network. And you can ask them questions, and we'll drop that link into the episode links in the transcript.
I hope that answers your questions, Kevin. Thanks again for sending them in. And finally, last week, we had a question request for an autofill feature for best offer responses. And we said we'd pass the suggestion on to the product team, but seller Erica wrote to us at podcast@ebay.com with the following excellent tip. She says, I was listening to your recent podcast, number 134, and I have a suggestion for the user needing to save comments for offers to watchers. One way to save a reoccurring comment on the phone would be to use the text replacement feature. Basically, you create a shortcut for your comment. For example, on the iPhone, that's in Settings, General, Keyboard, Text Replacement. Hope this helps. Thanks, Erica.
What a great suggestion. Thanks, Erica. I learn something new every time I'm on the podcast.
Yeah, and I wonder if that works for folks with Android phones.
I'm not sure. I'm an iPhone guy.
Yeah, same here. I have my old Galaxy Note 9 as a backup, but I recently switched finally to an iPhone 12 Plus. It's really cool, and I have to say I really like it.
I really like them as well. Either way, thanks, Erica, and great tip.
Yeah, well, those are five questions that were certainly a lot of fun to answer, Brian.
They sure were fun to answer. If you want to join the fun here on eBay for Business, call us on 888-723-4630.
That's 888-723-4630. And the best part, you can, as always, call that hotline at any time of the day, any day of the week. Leave a question or comment on the voice machine, and if it's appropriate, we just might put it on the air. And in fact, we might call you back and say, do you want to talk to us live while we record so you can be part of the podcast that way as well?
If you're not a call-on-the-phone person, you can always email us at podcast@ebay.com. That's podcast@ebay.com.
Oh, you know, thinking about that, I found a huge box in the garage a few days ago, Brian. It's filled with eBay for Business podcast mugs.
Really? We have some left over?
I think we do, and I wonder what we should do with them.
That's a tough one. I know. How about we give them away? After all, that's what they're there for.
Excellent idea, Watson. So let's do this. If you call in at 888-723-4630 or email us at podcast@ebay.com with a question, and we select it for an upcoming episode, we will send you a rare limited edition eBay for Business podcast mug suitable for the beverage of your choice.
I like that idea, Griff. Now you're thinking.
I've been known to think every now and then, Brian. But hey, don't forget your daily podcast to-do list.
Check the announcement board for up-to-date seller news.
Number two, why haven't you set up that thermal printer that's sitting there in its original box? It won't do you any good sitting there on the table unopened. You got to open it up and set it up. Jeez, do I have to do everything?
I tried to set it up, Griff, but you know what I did?
What?
I made a mistake when I bought the thermal printer. I bought the wrong size labels. I bought the 2x4 and I needed the 4x6.
Brian, what are you going to do?
I know. It'll give me the opportunity to sell this one on eBay and purchase another one from another one of our sellers.
Well, see that you do. I think it's embarrassing for me to be going on week after week about thermal printers, and you still don't have one you're using.
I know, and every time I do have to print a label, it means I waste a whole sheet of paper.
Oh, there goes the rainforest.
Yes.
Brian, you're supposed to be green.
My children tell me that all the time.
Number three.
Three. Check out the transcript for this and all episodes for follow-up on what you've heard and to see the links we referenced during the episode.
Now on our next episode, number 136, we'll take a deep dive into the new automated promoted listing feature and learn all about the enhancements and the new rules you can set up.
We'd like to again thank Jen Deal for stopping by, and a special thanks to everyone who sent in questions. Keep them coming.
Yeah, you'll get the mug. The eBay for Business podcast is produced and distributed by Libsyn and Podcast 411.